bit after talking with my wife this morning. I was talking about who you become. And I realized today there's times that some people become something they never intended. Am I telling you the truth? Some people get hooked on addictions and end up in a lifestyle that's really not them. And it's taken their life and brought them into bondage. There's others have chose the wrong path or the wrong friends, made some bad decisions, and end up in a place they don't want to be. Other situations, there's some that just look at their life and really that's not who they are. And some people don't know how to change it. So we need to realize today that there are people around us that are living lives that are not really who they are. And definitely not who God wants them to be. So as we go into the message today, I want to remind you that God knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows everything about you. He also knows who He wants you to become. And I'm so glad, and we don't have time to teach and preach all the words today, but there's so many Bible verses that teach us who we are in Christ once we come to Him. So we are going to begin today. Thank you for standing in honor of the Word, God's grace, and who you are. And today as we begin, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 in the King James Version says the following: But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now His grace is out there, and when we receive Christ, He gives us that grace. Can you say amen? Amen. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then in James chapter 4 and verse 6 it says, but He giveth more grace. How many of you glad for more grace today? Grace doesn't mean just unmerited favor. That's wonderful that it does. But grace also means God's willingness to use His power and His ability on your behalf. And He says He gives more grace, more power, more ability. He gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. I like the song, and it's probably the most popular song in the Christian realm. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How very glad you're saved by grace. And I like the other song that says, His grace is greater than all of our sin. No matter where you've been, what you've done, how you've lived, the choices you've made, the mark you've missed, His grace is greater than your sin, than my sin. Jesus, we thank You for great grace today. We stand here today able to clap, able to sing, able to raise our hands, able to cry and worship, able to shout and even dance if we want to in the Spirit before You. Because of amazing grace. Lord, Your grace has reached into our lives and has changed many of us here. We're not the same because of the grace of God. And Lord, we thank You that as we live this life, for helping us realize we need the grace of God every day in our lives. Have Your way in the preaching of this message today. Your Word's already anointed. Now speak through me. Do what You desire in us, and we give You praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. You can be seated. God's grace and who you are. Last week, Brother Gary, Reverend Gary Manning, preached a message, My Future Depends on How I See My Past. And if you see your past is always holding you back, you'll always be held back. When God forgives, He washes you, makes you clean. That means whatever, as far as God is concerned, what was before coming to Christ is a done deal. Doesn't matter anymore. Hallelujah. A bunch of us ought to be shouting on that this morning. My future depends on how I see my past. He also said, I can choose to go back. I just don't want to. Every one of us has our own will, don't we? And each of us can choose to go back to the way we used to live, back to a world of sin, back to drinking, back to whatever it was. If we've been complacent and hadn't been serving the Lord like we ought to, we can go back there if we want to. So we can go back if we want to. I don't have the want to. Anybody else in the house? I have the want to follow the Lord. Anybody else here have the want to follow Jesus today and to put Him first? Brother Gary also said, no matter what our past has been, in Christ we are creating a testimony. So you and I are creating a testimony every day. People watch our lives on the way. I was up here just walking slow and praying softly before service all alone while people were doing other things. And Brother Bob walked up to me and he said, and I was walking and just praying, and he said, are you trying to sneak up on somebody? I said, no. He said, you never know who's watching, do you? You never know who's watching, do you? Amen? How many of you know you never know who's watching? And so we are creating a testimony with the life that we live, and our testimony can bring glory to God or glory to the devil. I choose the Father. How about you? Praise the Lord. Brother Gary's message, along with one of my devotions this week, has sparked the message for today. In the previous verses of chapter 4 of Ephesians and in the previous chapter, Paul had been talking about unity in the church. Then as we move into Ephesians chapter 4, he begins talking about diversity in the church. People of different races and from different cultures and backgrounds make up the church. If you think it's just going to be you and your family, or only white in heaven, or only black in heaven, or only Asian in heaven, you've got another thought coming. If you're saved today, you know Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister. You didn't take on my name, you took on His name, Christ, Christian. Christ is who you serve. Red, yellow, black, and white, all are one in Christ. There are a variety of ministries in the church, all designed to bring us together so that we can grow together as we become like Jesus. Isn't that the goal that God has for us and should become ours, to be like Jesus? And the different gifts and talents and abilities that each of us has helps to make the church whole. So if you're not involved in working and helping in the ministry, the church is not whole. We're missing your part. I'm too old to do anything. You're not dead yet, are you? You can be a part of the prayer group, can't you? You can be an usher at the door, even if we have to put you in a chair. Jimmy Rivenbark did it a long time. So our gifts, talents, and abilities that we have helps the church to be whole. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9 through 16. We're not going to read, but I just want to highlight them to you. So just listen real closely. In verses 9 through 16, it says, Jesus descended from heaven for us. He went to the lower parts of the earth and He took the keys, didn't He, to death and to hell. Jesus died on a cross. He rose again. He ascended back to heaven. By the way, Jesus has already defeated Satan. Come on, shout me down this morning. Jesus has already defeated Satan, and He knows He's defeated. That's why He's working so hard to deceive you and to deceive me. In those verses, it says He's given us the grace we need to follow Him and to serve. Those verses let us know that He sets captives free. Those who were bound are no longer bound. Is there anyone here in the place today that at one time was really bound in some addiction or drug or in some kind of lifestyle, and Jesus brought you out? Raise your hand real high. He brought you out. He still does it today, doesn't He? He sets captives free. And then the verses also lead us and says to us, though He has ascended, He gave gifts to His church. And gifts to His church help us grow and mature. Some of the gifts he's given in the verses said apostles, prophets, evangelists like Brother Hanzi that's coming, pastors like myself, and teachers like many of you. All these are gifts to the church. They're not people that just decided to do something so they'd have something to do. Listen, when you're called to teach and you step into that calling, listen, you are a gift to the body of Christ. When you step into the calling to preach or to pastor, you are a gift to the body of Christ. Amen. All kinds of gifts, and that's not all the gifts that he gives us in the body. And then in verse 16, I just want to remind you, based on this verse, every person has value. And every person has a place in ministry to do something. So together the church grows stronger and has a greater influence in our community. When we're separated, we lose our positive influence and the influence of Christ. We have value. You have value. And love causes us to build each other up, not tear each other down. You find another believer tearing another believer down, rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Tell them they ought not do that. Now remember James 4:6 that we read a few moments ago. He gives more grace to those who know him. He's shown grace to all of us, but until we really experience his grace, we don't know who he is or what he's like. Now, I want to go to Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 20. Ephesians 4, 17 through 20. Right here. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness and work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. So number one is this. Who you were is not who you are. Even without Christ, who you used to be, as you learn and grow and develop, you're not who you used to be. But especially in Christ, who you were is not who you are. Verse 17 says, don't be like others around you who don't know God. Hang with the wrong crowd, chances are you'll start acting like them, talking like them, thinking like them. You can witness without hanging with them. Amen. And doing the things they do. Come on, are you with me today? So he says, don't be like others around you who don't know God. Then he says in verse 18, their lives are darkened by sin. How many of you know sin darkens and sin destroys? Been there, done that. How about you? Verse 18 says they are strangers to the life of God. I don't understand how people can experience the touch of God and walk away. But they do. And maybe sitting here today is someone who has. But you can't forget the touch of God. Once he's touched you. Hallelujah. See, verse 18 also tells us they have hardened their hearts and are blinded to the things of God. We can harden our hearts toward the Lord. We can harden our hearts toward coming to church. We can harden our hearts. And sometimes we do it unintentionally and find out that we have no desire for God anymore. A lot of these seats are empty because people have put other things before the Lord and they're out there doing their thing in the week but not here worshiping on Sunday. And worship is more than just Sunday. Worship is Sunday through Saturday, every day of the week. We're to worship Him. But people have been blinded to the things of God. Seems like in Revelation he talks about the Lord coming. Coming shortening the days unless the very elect be deceived. That tells me believers can be deceived. But we don't need to be deceived. We need to know God. We need to get into His Word. We need to pray. We need to experience Him so Satan can't deceive us. Verse 19 says they're greedy and they love to do evil. All you have to do is watch the news, and it doesn't take long to see that people love to do evil. In Greenville, North Carolina, at a school this week, some shooting there, but nobody was harmed. Not too far, hour and a half from here. But nobody was harmed, thank God. 17 killed in Florida. 14 wounded. Other schools, churches, restaurants. Where are you safe? In Jesus. Because if they take your life here, you know where you're going to be the minute you breathe your last breath. Our safety is in Him. Now, I've read all those things about being darkened and strangers to the life of God, hard heart, being blinded, greedy, loving to do evil. So I just want you to say what's coming up on the screen with me right now. Will you do that? Next thing is this. That is not me. Verse 16 through 19 is not me. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and I choose to stand against the enemy and not just say something with my mouth, but have a relationship with God. I am not darkened by sin. I'm not a stranger to the life of God. Are you? I do not have a hard heart. I'm not blinded, but I can see the things of God, and I hate to do evil. Anybody else in the house say, listen, those verses are not me. Amen. Say it again. That is not me. Now, if it used to be, stomp your feet, shout a little bit, clap your hand, or do something to thank God because you're not who you used to be. Verse 20 says, you have not learned the dark, sinful life from Christ. Didn't learn it from Him. Jesus gets blamed for a lot of things. I appreciate what, I think it was Brother Steve said in a Wednesday night message recently, and we talked about giving our tenth to the Lord, and people have said over the years, I've heard it, you have too, over the years that when we, you know, if we don't pay our tithe, don't give that tenth at least, then He'll take it somewhere. Take it from, He'll take it. God's not going to take it from you. The devil's a taker. Now, if you don't tithe and give like you ought to, God can't bless you the way the Word says He will. Unless you're doing what He says to do. Come on, are you with me? And sometimes those things break down and things happen. But it's not because God's trying to get even. The devil's going to show you, I'll take what you have. Am I telling you the truth this morning? What you learn from Jesus and His Word is opposite to the lifestyle you used to live. How many of you are glad you're not back there anymore? See, in Christ, you're not the same as you were before. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 20. It says, Ephesians 4 and verse 20 through 23. But you have not heard, so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let me ask you, how many here today has heard a gospel message before today? Read it real high. How many have heard a gospel message more than once, more than twice? Probably everybody here, if we've heard the word preached and taught several times, haven't we? You know what that tells me? It tells me you know the truth. Tells me you know the truth. Tells me each one of us knows the truth. If you admit that you know the truth, and you know the difference between right and wrong and righteousness and sin according to God's Word, raise your hand real high. Now turn to the person beside you and say, you know better. We do, don't we? I know better. Though we know better, Satan wants to pull us back to where we were. And we cannot let him. The gospel, the truth about Jesus, sets people free. Since you know the truth, you need to speak the truth. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. So verse 22 said, it's time to get rid of your old man. Now ladies, I'm not telling you to get rid of your husband. Don't call him an old man, and he won't call you an old woman. I never have liked it when I heard a husband call his wife an old lady. And I know better. See, verse 22, before knowing Jesus, your conversation, your lifestyle, your words were corrupt. Will anybody admit that with me today? Some of you have told me your story. I'm glad I know you now. Because God's changed your life. Verse 22, before knowing Jesus, your lifestyle was, the word says, was corrupt. That word corrupt means putrid, rotten, filthy, rancid. Some of you are sweating and wiping the brow saying, how'd Brother Bracken know, dear God? Our corrupt words are worse than we think. Right? Before knowing Jesus, your conversation was corrupt. You're cursing, you're gossiping, your negative talk, criticism of others was putrid, rotten, filthy, rancid speech that God will have nothing to do with. He wouldn't have anything to do with it then, and He won't have anything to do with it now. And as a Christian, if you are gossiping, you'd better stop. God hates it. If all you can do is talk about something bad in another person's life, you better get your act together because God's not pleased with that. We need to speak words that edify and build up, don't we? I pray that none who are here right now are corrupt in your speech. That you don't put down a husband or a wife because of their walk with God, or youth, or a person in the church, or because they make a mistake and come short and fail. Am I making sense this morning? Verse 22 says, put off the old way of living and of talking. He tells us, he says, get rid of it, conquer it. In verse 22, he used the word corrupt. In verse 29, he used it again, and he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, encouraging, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, how many people are going to be honest with me today? And I'll raise my hand too. We'll be honest and say, Brother Bracken, there's times I've spoke negative of other believers in my life. And when I know I have, I've been so ashamed. Did you feel ashamed? Did you feel convicted afterwards? So we need to get rid of it. We need to conquer it. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Get rid of the stinking way of thinking. As we grow in Christ, our thinking changes. Matter of fact, we can't grow in Christ unless our thinking does change. I'm not talking about getting a fix. Like a car that gets repaired with a new part and an old motor. I'm talking about getting a new motor. Sometimes you got to get a whole new car. How many of you have hung on to them longer than you should, like I have? I just hate car payments. I don't know about you. Let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well and well-formed maturity in you. God's desire is to grow you and to grow me, bring us into relationship with Him, and to grow us to become like Him. Amen. And to think like Him and to talk like Him. None of us will ever be Christ, but we sure can reveal Him to the world. Amen. So the second point is this. Live like the person you have become. Now, that doesn't mean whatever we are as far as sin or lifestyle or things that are not pleasing to God, we just need to stay that. Talking in the context of Christian, of Scripture, and knowing Jesus, live like the person you have become. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the right to become the sons of God." So right at the very beginning, He says, we have the right to be called His son, and He gives us the power to become. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the following. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What? Old things. Read it with me. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ, what? You're new. You're not the same. Because you're new and you're not the same, it affects how you look at everything else. Then you begin to feel differently about everything else. Right? The old is gone, the new is come. I like what it says in the NLT. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. I pray today that you can say, that's me. That's you. I've been saved a long time, but I'm still new in Jesus. Anybody else? He keeps me new. Hey, He even keeps me young. Don't I still look young a little bit? No hands, no amens or nothing. When you belong to Christ, you become. You're a new person. As imperfect as we are, God's Word tells us who we are. The next few verses reveal the results of living life, living like the person we have become, or He says we've become. Brother Gary last week again said, I can go back, I just don't want to. Anybody want to? I know you're not going to raise your hand, because we'd be on you like molasses on a biscuit. We'd be praying for you right away. I know we wouldn't want to let people know. But listen, if you're thinking about going back, you need to think again. You can ride the fence between being like the world or being like Jesus. But you can only ride the fence for so long before you fall off on the wrong side. If you ride it too long, you're going to fall off on the wrong side. Am I telling you the truth? When a person is not serious about following Jesus, it's harder for the Lord to help them. Not that He doesn't want to. Sometimes He has to back away because you've made another choice. Doesn't mean He forgets you. He's waiting and watching. Live like the person the Scripture says you have become. When in Christ, the next few things will tell us the things that how we're supposed to be. Let me ask you, anyone here definitely, for sure, without a doubt, know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Do you ever get excited about that again? You should. The next verses are who you are, who the Word says you have become. If there's anyone listening today and you are considering coming to Jesus and getting your heart right with God, the next few verses describe who you describe a part of who you will become. So let's look at Ephesians 4:21 in the New Century Version. Ephesians 4:21 through 31. I know that you heard about Him, speaking of Jesus, and you are in Him. So you were taught the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught to leave your old self, to stop loving the evil way you lived before. That old self becomes worse because people are fooled by the evil things they want to do. But you were taught to be made new in your hearts, to become a new person. That new person is made to be like God, made to be truly good and holy. So you must stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth, because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you're angry, do not sin, and be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't let him in your life. Those who are stealing must stop stealing and start working. They should earn an honest living for themselves. Then they will have something to share with those who are poor. When you talk, don't say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. And do not make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's proof that you belong to Him. God gave you the Spirit to show that God will make you free when the final day comes. Do not be bitter or angry, and never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. Never do anything evil. He says, in Christ, this is who we become. He's talking to us as believers if we know Christ, and He says, this is who you are. God's Word calls us things we don't realize we are. Or sometimes we realize, but we're not willing to live up to the mark. Amen? This is who we're supposed to be. You can't be who God says you are to become without Him actively being involved in your life. A 20-year-ago prayer... and never talking to God again, never reading your Bible again, never fellowshipping with Him, listen, you must not have got what I got. Jesus saves. He changes lives. He has to actively be in our lives, or we can't be who He says we are. He says, I'm a conqueror. A lot of times I don't feel like a conqueror. So I have to remind God, I find it in the Bible. Lord, You said, I don't feel like a winner today. You ever have days you don't feel like a winner? You ever have days you want to shout at somebody like He said, don't do? That's when you pray. You ever had to say, God, help me bite my tongue? Have you bit your tongue and still did it anyway? He tells us who we are. That means we can be that. Are you listening? We can be who He says we are. But we can't do it in our own strength. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, without communication with God, without allowing God to work in our lives, none of us can be who He says we are. It's not just about who we will become 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's who He says we are now. He says we're conquerors now. We're overcomers now. Greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. When? Now. Dear God, I'm preaching to you and to me. Because we both need to hear it. See, once you're saved in Jesus is made real in your life, you become who He says you are. And you keep growing into the image of the Son of God in the spiritual realm. Can you imagine becoming like Jesus? He says we can. says we are. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For the way he thinks needs to be the way you think. He said, this is who we are. This is who I am. Ephesians 4, verse 32 in the New Century Version, says this, be kind and loving to each other and forgive each other just as God forgave you in Christ. Can you say it with me? This is me. This is us. Thank you, Jesus. See, God's grace is about who we are. And if who we are is not pleasing Him and we've accepted Him, He's saying, this is who I said you're supposed to be. This is who you are. Now come on, let's become that. Grace means He will work with you. He'll take time with you. He'll put people in your life to help you. I didn't go from being a baby to 66 years old overnight. I didn't go from being a baby and the next day walking. I had to grow and to learn. Yes. And He says, this is who you are. And if you're right here and you've asked me into your heart, then start taking the journey to be right here where I said you, this is who I say you are. God's not going to say this is who you are if you can't arrive there. If you don't arrive there, it's your fault. It's not God's. I'm telling you, God says, this is who you are. You are precious to Him. You are valuable to Him. He says, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. He says that when we receive Christ, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He says, we become the righteousness of God. So the Word says, Leo Bracken is now the righteousness of God. God, I don't feel so righteous. Sometimes I've not been anybody else. He said, but this is who I say you are. So who's got to move? Not God. Me. That's why He said from glory to glory. Wow. His grace says, I see you, now come to me. Remember, He gives more grace. Have you ever needed more grace? Who you were is not who you are. And some things won't change until some things change inside of you, inside of me. Live like the person the Bible says you have become in Him. I can't do it, Brother Bracken. Yes, you can. Because He's helping you. God's Word and the Holy Spirit will guide you. God's Word and the Holy Spirit will lead you. God's Word and the Holy Spirit will empower you. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Live like the person you have become according to His Word. He says you are. So if you're down here today, don't give up. And if you're up here, don't let pride come in. Wow. It doesn't matter what your past has been. You can create a testimony. You can create a life that pleases God. The life of God will change you and change you and change you and keep changing you and keep changing you. Tell the person beside you, I've not arrived, but I'm on my way. Hallelujah. So don't quit. Don't give up. Let God help you. Be honest with God about where you are spiritually. If you've not cared whether you come to church or not, you need to get it right with God this morning. Because if you're right with Him, you'll want to be here. If you have a hunger after righteousness, He'll not only fill you, but you'll have to. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. One thing I've desired of the Lord is what? Live in the house of the Lord forever. He said, forsake not the assembly, but being in church alone is not your answer.
But it's part of what God uses for us to become one. Because I need you, and you need me. And we can't be there for each other if we don't see each other, if we don't talk to each other. Let God help you. Jesus gives you the right to become. I was thinking, and I'll draw it to a close. I was thinking about my own life. When I accepted Jesus at 12 years old, matter of fact, in an Assembly of God church, not long after, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. My life's never been the same. As a teenager, a young teenager, God called me to preach. But even after I got saved, before He called me, I still didn't realize how He was going to use me. I'd planned to be a commercial artist. Just did oil paintings and wood burnings and ink drawings. And so I was planning to be a commercial artist. I was already taking classes at 10 and 12 years old. And then I decided to get a job in a grocery store. And even though I knew God had called me, I was going to work in a grocery store and move up to management and be a supervisor. And I was on my way when God spoke to me to go to Bible college at Southeastern. But when I look at Leo Bracken, let me tell you where God's brought me from. He brought me from a shy, timid, cowardly person. And on this journey of life, He's taken me through different steps. We've raised children. We've helped raise grandchildren. But He's also put me in the ministry. Took my first church when I was 26 years old. I never dreamed when God called me to preach that over these 40 plus years, a little over 40 years, that I would have pastored hundreds of people. Little shy, backward, self-conscious boy that wore shoes till they were worn out, had hand-me-down clothes, didn't have much as far as life. But Jesus put me on a journey, and I've pastored hundreds upon hundreds of people over these years. He's put me in a place to be on the board for the Assemblies of God, North Carolina, for years as a presbyter. He's put me in a place to disciple and mentor other ministers. Me? I didn't ask for that. What are you saying, Brother Brad? I'm saying God knows where He wants you to be, but you got to start becoming who He wants you to be right now. He'll take care of tomorrow and the next week. When I look back, my life has been a God thing. I was going to be a supervisor in a grocery store. But I wouldn't change preaching and teaching and pastoring and ministering to be the President of the United States. Dear Lord, who'd want to be President of the United States anyhow? I hope that you understand. It's not where you've come from. It's who you know. Who you serve. Who you follow. If He can take me shy back, I was tongue-tied, and elementary school had to have my tongue cut to be able to speak clear. Afraid to speak unless I was spoken to. We first started seeing each other. She did all the talking. Now I do all the talking. I'll tell you my story in a nutshell, because I want you to see. Some of my family ran bootleggers in the mountains. Had cousins kill cousins. God kept me from that. And I can honestly say, I thank God for putting me in the ministry. Now, what's that have to do with you? I hope sharing that helps you to see. It doesn't matter how backward you are, how shy you are. Doesn't matter what your background with your family. You come to know Jesus, and you keep walking and serving Him, praying and reading His Word, allowing the Holy Spirit to be in you, and you will be who He says you are. Stand with me if you don't mind. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm depending on You. Lord, we depend on you. I want to thank you, God. That in Christ, who you say we are, is who we are. But Brother Bracken, I've come so short. Who hasn't? Father, I thank you that when we come short, you still say, hey, you're my child. I said, this is who you are. Now be who I said you are. But Lord, what if I fail again? What if I fall back again? Get up. Be who I said you are. Lord, I got involved in something I shouldn't be involved in. I've so disappointed you. Get up. I forgive. Be who I say you are. But Lord, I've been one of the worst gossipers. Get up. Shut your mouth. Be who he says you are. Lord, I've been afraid to get involved because I can't sing, I can't teach, I can't do any of these things. I don't know if I can do anything to help. Yes, you can. Get up and be who God says you are. Because he'll open a door. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for your help today. I pray that we realize that your grace is great. You give us grace for everything you call us to do, everything you want us to do, and who you want us to become. You give grace to become that who you say. So, Lord, during these moments of just being quiet in your presence, for just a second or two, I'm asking you to speak. Put the word in our mind, in our heart. Help us look at ourselves and realize each of us, God has plans for us. God has plans for me. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. You are our strength, Lord. You are our help. So if you're standing here and you feel like, I can't do this, I can't do this Christian thing, I can't live for God the way I know I should, yes, you can, because he gives the strength, he gives his spirit, he gives his word, he puts people around you, and if you'll ask, there'll be people ready to pray with you, stay with you, stand with you. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Oh, you can go back if you want to. But I just pray today that you don't have the want to go back. And if the want to go back is there, right now, Holy Spirit, would you deal with his heart? Would you deal with her heart? That person is precious in your sight. You died that they might know God the Father. You paid a price that they might become like you. Lord, it doesn't matter what they've done and where they've been. Right now, help that man or that woman or that teen or that adult, whoever it is, to realize, hey, I might have blown it, but God loves me and God forgives. And Lord, right now, I'm going to put myself right back on the path to be who you say I am. Let him talk right now. Listen to him. What are you going to say to him? Will you say yes to it? Jesus, thank you, Lord. God, we depend on you this morning. Taking a few moments just to be in his presence. God can do more for you than I can do. Message is not intended to to be a condemning message. It's intended to be a liberating message where God can work in us. Father, thank you now. Just taking a few moments. I can see some of you really responding to the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Just let Him work. Sing it. Jesus, we're depending on you. Jesus, we're depending on you. Depending on you to see us through. Jesus, we're depending on you. Jesus, we're depending on you. Jesus, we're depending on you. Depending on you to see.
Now make it more personal.
Jesus, I'm depending on you. Jesus, I'm depending on you. Jesus, I'm depending on you. Depending on you to see us through.
Now, here's how we're going to close. On every eye closed and nobody looking around but me and Jesus. Right? Every eye closed. If you're here today and God has talked to you through this message and it's helped you, God speaking to you about stepping it up, I want you to put your hand up and back down. Nobody's looking around but me. Yes, dear God, all over the house. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Isn't He wonderful? You can be who He says you are. We're here to help. This body's here to help. No man's an island, and you can't do it alone. One more time, then I'm going to dismiss you. Jesus, I'm depending.
Jesus, I'm depending on you. Jesus, I'm depending on you. Jesus, I'm depending on you. Depending on you to see us through.
Now give Him a hand. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for talking to all of us today. Praise God. We love you. Go with God. Look forward to seeing you tonight. Thank you, Jesus.